adoption story this time of year is really a beautiful story. Now, we understand that adoption can be a very complex thing, and I want to make sure that all of our children in here and adults who have been adopted understand that. Not every child who has been given up for adoption was abandoned by their parents. In many cases, it was an incredibly brave choice on the choice of the parents to give up their child for adoption. It's certainly a better alternative than abortion, isn't it? For sure. And we're thankful for every birth parent who gave up their child so someone else could raise them and show love to them. So we understand that it can be a complex and complicated situation. We wouldn't want anybody to feel bad about the status of being adopted, because it's great to be adopted. Can I tell you this? I'm adopted. You say, your birth parents go to church here. Sure they do. I'm not adopted physically. I have been adopted spiritually. And every Christian has been adopted spiritually. In fact, the Christmas story itself is an adoption story. Let me quickly prove it to you. Turn with me in your Bible to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, a text that many of you will recognize as a Christmas text. Galatians chapter 4, I'm going to begin my reading in verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son. That's Christmas. God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So Christmas was about adoption. God wanted to adopt us into his family. Now, there's some things that are true about the adoption situation in our culture that are also true about the Christmas story that we read about in Galatians chapter 4. When a person is adopted, it requires someone to come at the right time. Someone has to come at the right time to adopt someone into their family. Many of you will know this, that my wife and I did foster care for many years, and we had a couple of sibling sets that we were hoping to adopt, and if it was up to us, we would have adopted them. We didn't get to adopt them, and primarily there were timing issues involved. Their birth parents were working hard to get them back, and that was a wonderful thing. But to adopt someone into your family requires a situation of timing. What the Bible says is that when God adopted you into his family, believer, he sent his son at the perfect time to do it. In the fullness of time, the Bible says. We talked a little bit about that this morning, so I won't elaborate on it tonight. But it was the right time religiously. It was the right time culturally. It was the perfect time for Jesus to come so we could come into the family of God. Not only does adoption require someone to come at the right time, it also requires someone with the right qualifications. Let's say tonight that you were moved by the story and you decide you'd like to adopt a child. So you go to the hospital and you pick out a baby and you take them home. You know what that's called? Kidnapping. They will arrest you, and rightfully so. Adoption is a lengthy, extensive process that requires interviews and home studies and background checks and a whole host of things. Did you know that there is only one person who ever lived who was qualified to bring you into the family of God? That's Jesus Christ. We read about some of his qualifications in these verses. We read that he came in the fullness of time, verse 4, that God sent forth his son. Qualification number one, he was fully divine. Now, when our sons and daughters come into this world, they come into this world. We don't send them into this world because they did not exist before their conception. Are you following that? God sent his son, Jesus Christ, into this world because he existed before his conception. He's God. He's always been. So he was fully divine. Not only was he fully divine, he was fully human. This passage says he was made of a woman. And as I've often said it, he was just as much man as if he were never God, and just as much God as if he were never man. So our Messiah, the one qualified to bring us to God, had to be fully divine. He had to be fully human. He also had to be fully righteous. We read here that he was made under the law. What does that mean? It means he came into this world as a Jewish man under the Old Testament Jewish law. Now, I think you'll find this true. Most of our lawmakers live above the law. This lawmaker put himself under the law. And he met the demands of the law. We were lawbreakers. None of us have ever kept the law of God. Jesus came into this world and as a perfect man was a law keeper. And on the cross of Calvary, the law keeper suffered as a law lawbreaker, so that lawbreakers might have a standing with God as if we were law keepers. That's why Jesus was the only one who was qualified to pay for our sins and bring us to God, because he's the only person who's ever lived a fully righteous life. I like what John Stott said. If he had not been man, he could not have redeemed man. If he had not been a righteous man, he could not have redeemed unrighteous men. If he had not been God's son, he could not have redeemed men for God or made them the sons of God. You can search all the religions in human history and you will never find one person qualified to bring you into the family of God but the Son of God himself, Jesus Christ. So adoption requires someone to come at the right time. Someone who has the right qualifications. Then it requires, lastly, someone who is willing to pay an exorbitant cost. Now, adoption in our culture can be a pricey thing. Isn't it a shame that an abortion only costs $300 and an adoption can cost $60,000? I'm telling you, that shows us how messed up things really are in our culture. But throughout history, adoption has always been an incredibly expensive process. Let me tell you this, as much as a couple might pay to bring someone into their family today, it was infinitely more costly for God to bring you into his family. We read about that in verse 5. He sent his son made under the law to redeem them that were under the law that we might receive the adoption of sons. That word redeem is a costly word. And it has the idea of being bought back from a slave market. In this particular verse, the context of it is that we were slaves to the law, that we had broken the law, and as lawbreakers, we were slaves to the law. Jesus came and paid the demands of the law so that he might set us free, so that he might redeem us. I love the way Ephesians 1:7 says it so clearly. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. What does it cost to bring sinners into the family of God? The cross. Did you know that for God to create the universe, all it cost him was his words? For God to create mankind as a living soul, all it cost him was his breath. But for God to save your hell-bound soul and my hell-bound soul, it cost him the most precious substance in the entire universe, the blood of his only begotten son. Amen. And he did all of that to bring you into the family of God. Now, they said something profound in the play. I don't know if you picked up on it. They said, we choose you, but you have to choose us. And that's a beautiful picture of what it means to come into the family of God. When God sent his son into this world in the person of Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross of Calvary and rose again, God was saying, I choose you and you and you and you and you. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Amen. But to come into the family of God, you have to choose him too. John 1:12 says, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe upon his name. How do I get the power, the standing to come into the family of God? Well, the Bible says I have to believe upon his name. And when I believe upon his name, I receive the power to become a son, or if you're a lady, in your case, a daughter of God. Listen to what Romans 10 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How does a person get into the family of God? John 1:12, believe upon his name. Romans 10:9, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. It really is that simple. He chose you, but you have to choose him back. What do you get when you come into the family of God? You get a brand new name, Christian. You get a brand new home, heaven. You get a brand new father, God himself. And there's no father like him. If you're not absolutely certain you're in the family of God, you can be before we leave. And I hope here in just a moment you'll pray a very simple prayer with me. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, we are thankful that though we are not by nature part of your family, you went to great effort and paid an exorbitant cost to bring us into your family. And every Christian could sing along with those boys and girls, hallelujah, we're adopted. Lord, if there is someone here who feels on the outside of your family, they've never been brought into the family, I pray tonight before they leave, they would come into it. And we know that's why Jesus came. Calvary was your declaration that you've chosen to save sinners. And Lord, tonight we need to make a declaration that we choose you too. And if there's someone here who has never done that, I pray they will. With every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around, how many of you would say, I'd really love to be part of the family of God? I'd like to be able to call myself a Christian, to know my home is heaven, to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I have God as a father. I can't think of anything more wonderful than that. I'd like to be able to say, I'm a part of the family of God. But Pastor Gillett, I'm not sure I can say that with assurance tonight. If that's you, I want you to listen very carefully. All you need to do right where you sit is believe on the name of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. If you'll believe that you're a sinner, if you'll believe that Jesus died for you and rose again, if you'll turn from your sin and trust Christ as Lord and Savior, tonight he will bring you into the family of God. Is there anyone here tonight who would say, I've never done that, but I'd like to do it right now? We won't embarrass you. We won't ask you to speak. We won't ask you to join the church. We're just going to pray a very simple prayer with you right where you sit. Is there anyone who would say, I would like to have the assurance I'm in the family of God. I'd like to pray that prayer with you, Pastor. If that's you, would you lift your hand with mine? I'd like to pray that prayer with you, Pastor, right where I sit. If you'd like to be saved and know you're in the family of God, pray a simple prayer of faith with me tonight. Father, I know I'm a sinner. I do believe Jesus died for me. I believe he rose again. I turn from my sin. I receive your son. Please forgive me. Come into my life. Give me eternal life. In Jesus' name, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer from a sincere heart, perhaps for the first time in your life, would you just lift up your hand and let me know? Pastor, I prayed that prayer with you tonight. From the bottom of my heart, I want to be part of the family of God. And I've asked God to save me tonight. Wonderful. Now, Christians, would you look up this way? Just look up this way. There are a whole lot of people on the outside of the family. And God would love for them to come on the inside. That's why he came. And we go into this world with good news that anyone can be reconciled to God. That anyone can be a son or daughter of God. And this is such a wonderful opportunity during the Christmas season to share the good news with others.